Hi, this is the session for 9 ways to use your status as an award-winning author to increase book sales. And I know we've got a good number of attendees on thus far. Why don't we go around and just everybody introduce themselves and where they're from.
My name is Hilda Gurdian, and I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina.
My name is Catherine Ferguson. I'm from Tucson, Arizona.
And I'm Carlos Melendres from New Mexico.
I'm Stephanie Arnold from Chicago.
Oh. Esther Jones from California.
Victoria Oliveira from New York.
Okay. Amelia de Dios, España, Spain.
Excellent.
Natalie Torres from LA.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, Randy Jurado Hotel, Los Angeles.
Excellent. Okay. And the one thing, how many of you have ever done a Google search on the term award-winning author?
Not me.
Do that just to see how many thousands of things come up. I get a daily search on that term, and it's amazing how many people are using that term. And it, in reality, is one of the most popular terms associated with publishing. And so the fact that we are the only entity that has really incorporated it into an award, I think is really unique and gives us something extra special. And one of the things, having worked within the Latino community for over 40 years now, that I know Latinos are often more shy than certain other groups by their nature, and they don't like to promote themselves or feel more uncomfortable about promoting themselves. And I think that that's something that you have to sit there and make sure that, you know, you're not in that category. Don't be afraid to use it. You guys are all winners, and don't be shy about promoting yourselves and that. And if you feel uncomfortable about it, maybe a friend of yours can help promote you and that kind of a thing in terms of your local area and that. I know somebody like Randy that's on the call. Randy is not shy about promoting himself, and because of that, he gets more attention than other authors that might be just as deserving, but Randy's not afraid to step into the spotlight. Right, Randy?
Yeah, but I'm still hesitant, yes. It's a mixture.
Right. But you do a great job of promoting yourself on the topics of the books that you're writing about and that. And when you see an event coming up and things like that, I know you sit there and you give them a call. Do you want somebody to come and speak on this and that kind of stuff? And I think that's what helps separate you from perhaps other authors.
Yes.
And I think one of the reasons many authors get published is to get more recognized in their field. It might be an academic that's writing because they don't get a promotion within their college. If they don't publish books, it might be a children's book author that just loves children's books and came up with one of their own, and that's why they're doing it, and all those, all the different reasons that we did it. But then, in my mind, every serious author, the next thing they want to be after they are published, they want to be an award-winning author, because it really gives them that recognition and that. And so all of you are award-winning authors, and don't be afraid to use that. The third point on this list that I prepared here is after your name, start using, put comma, AWA. There's a lot of industries out there, like the travel industry, that they can have 3, 4, 5 sets of acronyms after their name because of different things that they've done in the travel industry. And that. But within the publishing industry, nobody has ever used the term AWA. Initially, it becomes that thing that you put it on your business card, you put it on your emails, things like that. People are going to go, AWA, what's that stand for? What they're really doing is saying, tell me about your book, tell me about this and that, and how'd you become an award-winning author, and that. Whoever's making some noise, can you mute your phone? Okay, so that way it's really a great way for you with very little energy to start getting people asking more about what you're doing and that. And I would estimate at least 200 award-winning authors thus far are using that term, because I see it on emails all the time. And I've had probably in the vicinity of 50 to 60 people.
Promote a winner.
Other people ask about that. And so that weren't award-winning authors, but they said, oh, I've seen people using it, or tell us more, and that kind of stuff. So it is starting to work. It's the kind of thing that over a course of 4 or 5 years, it will become a real industry standard. And I also love the way the AWA in many font types fits together. It just melds together so nicely and that. And if you have any questions on these points or other things related to that point that have worked for you, don't hesitate to jump right in. I want this to be two-way.
I have a question. How do you write it? Do you kind of say, like in my case, my name is Hilda Gurdian, and then right after Gurdian, I maybe type a comma, and then those AWA? Is that the correct way?
Exactly. That is the correct way. That is exactly the correct way.
Thank you.
I have a question also.
Sure.
I did get an email that I am a finalist. Does that mean that I am an award-winning author?
Exactly. Be sure and click through all. There's a download specifically on this title and things along those lines, so that it gives you examples and that kind of stuff. Be sure and click through to see the different things. Included in that email is also the logo, so that you can start using. I know some people even use the logo on their emails, the award-winning author logo and that. So just follow the guidelines for using the logo, please.
Can you clarify why we are called finalists as opposed to award-winning author right away? Why
okay.
Finalist?
Well, you're a finalist. Every finalist will be getting an award on September 8th. But with those, some of you will get first place, some will get second, that kind of a thing. but it's where all of you ultimately are award-winning authors. So it's just a different way.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. The next one, number 4, is use the AWA sticker on your books or the logo and that, if you're reprinting the book and that, so that it's an easy way for people to identify it. I would suggest if you are using you've got a new edition printed with the logo on it, when you have one on display somewhere, use the actual sticker, because then it adds that three-dimension aspect to it and that kind of a thing. So it just is a great way of attracting attention to your book. And inevitably, if somebody's walking along and here are 5 books and only one of them has a sticker on it, that one's probably going to get more attention than the other ones. Then going to number 5, with your next book, mention the award on the back cover of your book and, of course, in your bio inside, what some authors are now using inside, where they have a picture of themselves, they can run a picture of, the logo next to their picture. That kind of a thing just adds more credibility to you. But the key thing when you're reaching out and looking for reviews for that book, this is the kind of thing that will help you get a review in the more important places. So, somebody has a lot of background noise. Could you please mute your phone? To mute, you can go *6 will mute your line. If you don't have a button on your cell phone or whatever to do it. So, It's really important with those big places like Publishers Weekly probably gets, well, I know they get thousands of books every week. And ultimately, they're going to review 50 to 200 of those. And literally, when I was last there at the Publishers Weekly offices, they had these bins full of books that had come in and we're not going to even get unwrapped because the cover letter didn't meet their standards and nothing prompted them to open it and that. And so that's why that cover letter really has to catch their attention. And this is one of those ways. Okay. Moving on to number 6.
I have a question, Kirk.
Sure.
Do you have any, or are you going to have any workshops that talk about those things? Because those things seem to be important, like, the intro letter you're talking about that might catch their attention to read your book, or, there's other types of letters, like, a curry letter, or what is it called? I forget. But anyway, it's all the introductory stuff so that you can learn how those things work. Also, if you want to submit a piece of writing and they don't know you, don't you need like an intro letter as well?
I'm not hearing one word. You're saying something letter.
Oh, I said, if there's going to be a workshop on introductory letters.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Introductory. We could do a future ISLA conference call along those lines. And
that
it's
would
not
be great.
Really, it's not really introductory letters, but getting reviews is really one that would be a topic by itself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I agree.
And in that, because that is certainly a key area. One of the things with the books that we get each year entered into the awards, about one-third comes from major publishing houses, one-third comes from medium-sized houses and the bigger of the smaller houses, and then one-third are either self-published or they're from very, very small publishing houses. And the one thing with that final group there, the vast majority of those books are not going to get a review in Publishers Weekly and other places from the standpoint that they are not following one or more industry standards. And that's one of the things that trips up a lot of authors that are self-publishing in that.
What are those problems?
Well, that could be a whole workshop in itself.
Because
it really just on the covers there's like 15 to 20 things that are anticipated, and a lot of our smaller entities don't do them, and because of that, they're just not going to be considered in these. So somebody just picking it up, even before they open the book, it doesn't meet those standards, so it's going to be set aside. And I see that in the judging, where we are, most of the judging for most books is on the content, but then when it comes to presentation, Some great books will get marked down because they just are not meeting these different other standards it's a key thing for getting reviews and that. And it doesn't take anything away from the actual content and that, but it does prohibit some of those books from going anywhere.
Kirk, I just have a question. My publisher said that until you win two awards, they do not consider that award winning. The second part of that question is, do I need to tell, as the author, I have to tell my publisher I want it printed as award winning author, like print that sticker on the second run of the book?
Exactly. Yeah, just make sure your publisher gets a copy of that logo, as well as the guidelines that go along with it. We did have one author, award-winning author, with their first book or whatever, and then when they did their next book, they put the logo on the cover, and they had to withdraw the whole. It was a short run with the first run of that next book, and they did it without me even asking, because they realized they made a mistake.
Is it proprietary for you as using that award-winning author? Because I just won a second award, and now they can print it out, but the logo that they're going to use, the one you're talking about for the International Latino Book Awards, is one thing, but to put
exactly.
AWA on it is a different story, correct?
Well, no, the AWA, you can use that wherever. The term AWA, the award-winning author logo, you can use within the guidelines as stated, but as soon as you got that finalist notice, you can start using it. Now, often with children's books in particular, they will run a great children's book will have 2, 3, 4 seals of some sort on that cover. And so it really helps play up with those ones that are really getting national attention, that they've not only won one, they've won three or four, that kind of a thing.
Okay, great. Thank you.
No, these are great questions, and I appreciate that. Contact your local mainstream media. How many people here have ever reached out to your local mainstream media about winning your award?
I certainly have, but just met with nothing but silence.
Really?
Yeah, Kurt. I worked in television most of my career and in news, and there has to be something that circles back, even if it's your local community. So, for instance, if your book is about fathers and sons, it's probably a good idea to touch base with your local news and say, I have a great Father's Day book, and by the way, I'm an award-winning author, and I can talk on the subject. And then they'd be more inclined to hear that. It's all in the pitch and doing it for them, as opposed to just calling them and speaking to the news desk and saying, hey, I'm an award-winning author, and I have a new book out, and let me talk to you about it.
Exactly. And you're right. With TV, TV is the hardest sell. And actually, while certain kinds of media have certainly grown in recent years, the number of field reporters and that within TV certainly is not one of those growing segments. But as we get close to a time of the year like Hispanic Heritage Month, that's a great time to reach out again, because many entities will, for that month, like you were saying, they're looking for a hook. And so they have 30 days during that month. They may go, okay, one of these days we'll do a local Latino author. And if you're the only one that reached out, odds are you will get that call and that.
With Spanish,
excuse me?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the call. The call, what call? For what?
Oh, in terms of Hispanic Heritage Month, is one of those times of the year that an entity that may not normally be thinking about a Latino topic will inevitably be looking at that. So that's the type of thing to be thinking about. Within the Hispanic market, you don't have to sell them as much, although it may be where if you offer to that local paper, I can do a short article if you don't have staff and that type of a thing to do it. And do it that way. One of the most interesting things we also oversee the National Association of Hispanic Publications Jose Martí Awards, and have been doing that since 1989. And that, and before that, I was the founding president of that group. But with that group, the most popular category in terms of number of entries is Outstanding Hispanic Success Story article. And so all of you are really primed for that type of an article. So look at it not merely an article about your book. Look at it from the standpoint of here you are, you're a local success story in a variety of angles, each of you will be different, but use that as the approach maybe along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next is contact your local schools, libraries, and colleges about your award. And that's where they would be interested in many cases. It might be where they're going to go come speak at this class. It might be where they've got a paying gig for you, a whole variety of things. But the reaching out to them is that first step. And for instance, within the library industry, for quite a while, the library segment was a real bare bones. And for whatever reason, their funding has gone up, and they are definitely looking at that local person that has made a name for themselves to come and speak and that kind of stuff. Schools, it's very much hit and miss. And colleges, it's going to depend on the departments and who's in the administration and things along those lines.
Kurt, I have a question.
Sure.
Kurt, okay. My question has to do with libraries. Library is a great venue to get your book into to increase your sales. However, there's a real cumbersome process in order to do that. And I was wondering if at all any of these webinars would hit on that process and maybe with sample letters, et cetera, because the libraries, once you get in, it's almost like a chain reaction. One library you get into, and then pretty soon the other. If your book is circulating, they're interested in getting that book as well, and that's national. They do require...
The second and third segments of the upcoming distribution webinars will be touching on that. And
Will that webinar
October and December.
Oh, that'll be great. But will that webinar also give us some sample letters to send? Because I am like what you mentioned, I'm self-published, I realize, too, by doing that, I've really, you know, I have to get a Library of Congress number and all this other stuff, which means for my current book, I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to go ahead and try out with the second book so I'm better prepared to be ready for library distribution. But will your webinar give us any kind of real detailed process and possibly sample letters to get out to libraries?
It will not cover everything. It's a lot of hand holding, and the biggest problem, and that, save it for the distribution question, because the distribution, you know, now we're getting into actual distribution and that, but
okay.
Because it really there's a couple big hurdles there that affect independent ones until you resolve that, everything else, it doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
What are those things?
No, that's why I said we will cover them under distribution.
Oh, later. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that is interesting what she's saying, because I think that's true. Like, once you start the first one, then the rest will follow. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. The next item is bookmarks. How many of you don't have a bookmark currently?
I don't.
So
I thought about it. I thought it was an important thing to do. I just haven't gotten around doing it, because I need to find someone that I would be happy to work with, you know, so that they could do it the way I want it. So I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I gave some sample pricing here for a bookmark, and that, so, I mean, you can get 1,000 of them for $40, and that's a two-sided, four-color on cardstock. So it's not an expensive item. I wouldn't get 1,000. I'd get at least 2,500 or 5,000, because then you're actually saving more money on a per 1,000 basis. But the key thing with those bookmarks is use them as a promo piece. When you go to a library, ask them if you can put some at their counter, and odds are they're going to say yes to that kind of thing. It's not going to hurt them and that. So, you know, think about it as something that you're leaving different places within your community that are reminding them that you exist and that. Mm-hmm. And be sure and put the award-winning author logo on there, because I think that's a great way to promote yourself.
Okay.
And then the final item that I have on this list is the tablecloth. And I know we probably have 70 or 80 people out there using these tablecloths. If you do many public events at all, it's a very economical way to promote yourself and help attract attention, because then you're not just another person sitting at a blank table. It actually is saying something in that.
You mean the sticker, putting a sticker on?
No.
No?
Any excuse me?
Oh, you said putting the sticker on will distinguish you from other people, right? That's not what you're saying?
No, I was saying using the award-winning author tablecloth.
Oh, the tablecloth. Oh, yes. Yes. Oh.
Yeah, because then you're not just a table sitting there in a row. And that's in part why we chose purple, because it's a different color than most other entities. Nobody else quite likely is going to have a purple tablecloth.
I somehow missed that you even offered tablecloths.
Huh?
Unless I misunderstood, you're offering tablecloths, I guess, also, like you have the logo that you can paste on the book?
Exactly. It's on that same list where you order the stickers, you can order tablecloth and that type of a thing, so that it really creates more of a attention getter for you. Any other questions? These are great questions. I really appreciate the input and everything.
I have questions.
Sure.
Yes. Can you tell us a little bit more about the awards conference in California? It's going to be a first for me if I go. I have decided not to go because I feel that I don't know enough on how to manage myself there. And it would be helpful if I had a picture of what's going to be, what happens.
Sure. Okay. The awards on September 8th are going to, it'll be in the evening. There'll be a reception first. Then we go into the awards. About half, a little bit over half of the presenters will be from the cast of Zoot Suit, which was anybody from Los Angeles that's closer to my age will remember Zoot Suit as the most amazing Latino cultural event ever. It just galvanized a community and really brought it together, self-pride and all kinds of things. One of the amazing things out of that is, and I'm sure all of you, no matter where you are aware of the Motion Picture Academy's lack of diversity and efforts to diversify and that. And so with that, six of the cast and then Luis Valdez are all now members of the Motion Picture Academy. Four of them were just voted on in the most recent grouping. And there has never been a Latino-themed entertainment vehicle that was a launching pad for as many different people as Zoot Suit was. So it really launched, be it Eddie Olmos, Tony Plana, Lupe Ontiveros, on and on, that got their start right there. And that, so that will be that night. We will also be doing that day, the next day, filming for the Latino Reads segments, and that, and then on Saturday the 10th, there will be the Los Angeles Latino Book and Family Festival that's going to be at a facility right next to Alvera Street in downtown Los Angeles. So it's a great facility. Any other questions on this?
Anything, all these events take place near the hotel, or how does one manage transportation once
okay.
One is there?
Sure. In terms of that, because there's only really two different locations, we can film you wherever you're at, or wherever we're at. Like, we will be doing some of them over at the campus. The campus is about a mile from the hotel, and there is a shuttle service provided by the hotel to take you back and forth there. And if there's, you know, we will work to make sure that authors that are going to the festival on Saturday can get rides up there. We'll work out something along those lines. If you let us know in advance, we'll connect you with other people coming to the festival from a similar area, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And that it ends on Saturday?
It ends on Saturday. So you could fly back Saturday evening to your home, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank
and
you.
And where is the festival going? No, I mean, where is the hotel? What hotel is it?
It is the DoubleTree. The link and everything is in the emails we've been sending out, and that is about a mile. It's in Carson, mm-hmm. California, which is right next to Dominguez Hills, where the campus is. And that is about 10 miles south of Alvera Street. And that.
Mm. And so transportation from the airport to the hotel, is that provided by the hotel?
I don't believe there is that transportation.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask if there will be any sort of more training during those 2 days. Like, the first day is a ceremony, but I'm wondering if, like, there's going to be anything anymore. Because this is very, very helpful, I thought. And mm-hmm. It would be nice to have more of it.
That's why we're going to be doing the Isla webinars and that kind of a thing as a continuing, mm-hmm. ongoing way to provide that. The thing that gets, because we're a very small crew here,
mm-hmm.
and it gets awkward putting on the awards, which takes a lot of energy, and like when you're doing the awards in conjunction with doing them at the ALA or at Book Expo, it's where ultimately it's hard to do two things to the highest level, and that mm-hmm. and that's why we separated the two and moved it the awards permanently to LA, and I think it's going to work very well for us. And that,
oh, so there won't be awards up in Northern California anymore?
It's no, that was because the American Library Association was there in San Francisco,
uh-huh.
and that. And so they will be in LA. And the prime long-term goal is really twofold. One, we move the awards from happening early summer to early fall, primarily because the book buying season is from the time kids go back to school through Christmas. That is the book period of the year. And one of the key reasons that we move the awards to that time period is then when we announce those final set of winners, and all the finalists go, of course, beyond that set of winners, is then it becomes, here's your Christmas shopping list. If you want kids' books, they're in here. If you want poetry, it's in here. If you want fiction, nonfiction, whatever, they're in here. And it really becomes that kind of a service to people. And I think it will help in terms of the long-term growth of the awards. The second reason that we moved it to LA is that we moved it from the standpoint that in the long run, one of our goals has been to get this the awards made into a a TV special and that. And it'll be much easier having it centered in LA.
Kurt, I have a question regarding the awards.
Sure.
People are going to be giving getting their awards on that day. Do you think we should be bringing some of our books for sale or not?
You don't bring books to sell on the on that Thursday night. You bring books to sell at the book festival because that's a different event.
Okay.
These have been great questions, and actually, I know we're going a little longer than I anticipated, but that's no problem. And that our goal with these is to keep them to half an hour, because then I think as we and to do them on a monthly basis, and to really help grow things. And I love the two ideas that were suggested in terms of additional topics for that.
One more question.
Sure.
To get from Carson to the book festival on Saturday, do we just email you that we would like to get a ride somehow, or how do we do this?
Yes. Email me a little sooner, not necessarily today. Another list tonight. I'll come up with somebody ultimately to handle that, because...
Okay, but you're the one I should adjust the email to, or?
At this point, yes. Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hope we answered most, if not all, your questions, and I realize some of them I put off to the distribution. Distribution, that's why we're doing it as three separate sessions. The first will be on really the evolution of distribution, so that people will understand how it's evolved and changed, some for the better, some for the worse, over the last decade or so. Then the next will focus on certain aspects of distribution, and then the third will focus on really some alternatives that I think are the best way to go.
Okay.
One last question. Are you Kurt?
Yes. last time I checked, I certainly was.
Thank you.
One of our board members is Nora Comstock, and one of the questions during after a workshop that we gave together was somebody asked, what's a Comstock?
It was so funny. So I felt like that was, I know I have a unique voice. It doesn't sound like it is in my mind, but then when I hear it later, I go, oh, that doesn't sound like me.
Well, I thank you so much. This was very, very helpful, and I feel so much more connected with you and the organization, so I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much, Kurt.
Okay. Have a
see
good rest of the day.
Bye-bye.
Yes, hello, Friday.
Infinity? Or affinity, I guess it's affinity. Uh-huh. All right. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Well, I think I have a problem too. I work, you know, I take affinity patients under your umbrella, but I don't work with snake Medicaid. I don't know if affinity can arrange transportation for you. Yep. Yes. Well, it means that it is not connected with an HMO. An affinity is an HMO, or it is a healthcare organization. Trade Medicaid means that it is not associated with any healthcare organization. It's just, you have to have a special number for that. So you need to call Affinity and ask them how do they provide the transportation. But I don't know anything about the transportation and how it is educated. That has to be, because it's provided by the insurance, the insurance has to give you instructions of how it works. So you can ask them. You know, I found a provider that is under Affinity, but she doesn't have history Medicaid. Can I still get transportation if I see her? Yeah, you need to find the answer to that, okay? You're welcome, sure. Better.
¿Cómo va tu grano? ¿Qué es tanto de eso?
Maybe they could have helped them back then even more so.
persuaded. And then I got involved with Tanya's crap, all this shit going on with her and having a baby, that I kind of put into the side somehow or another. We became secondary to her. And you know what's so funny? That she would never, never recognize that. The first thing she says, you don't put the blame. Again, meanwhile, everything is about her, her, her. She said, it's been time for she said cool things and I'll swallow them. The moment where I had to tell her to shut the hell up and the world doesn't revolve around her. And as she came back, without even telling me she was up there, she showed up the house with all her stuff. Her room looked like a mess. And then I found out little by little what's going on. Roberta doesn't have a car, so he can't be driving back and forth. He gets hit. He got several cars. And I don't know who. They also have his second-hand car and car that's behind on his. So now he changed jobs because of that. So he's working over there. And she works over here. And not yet. And so he can't drive her back and forth. So she has to come back to make it easier for herself. That's just because 5 years she still had a car. She wouldn't even know. So now it's like I told her all before this happened, I told her, who are you going to take what we can help you do? 3 weeks passed by, and just when I just wake up, I'm going to do it myself, and this time. I told her, go take him to the doctor and have his shots done. Give him any shots so he can see blue, because they heat, and everything else is not good for him. 3 weeks later, and she's trying to be supportive, but there's something about her that I can't be supportive with her. And it's like when the day that I decided that nothing was doing well, I tried to get him out, when people get up and people fall to the spot, and every time that happened, I can't do this. And I was for myself, and I was willing to do it for myself as far as I could speak. And I wanted to have somebody there. I didn't want my kids to be there. I wanted somebody to help me, even though I was calling on my dad. Okay. So, you know, just in a way that this puppet is there. People are there.
Are you really saving?
And so I was ready to do it by myself, all by myself. And he finally didn't want me to be by myself. You can't be by yourself. Hang out up there. And she did. I mean, it took her like an hour to get there, maybe more. And, when she gets there, I had called the people there and yeah. And basically, one of the girls had passed the dog. They're not supposed to pass. One of the girls here who was with me was coming in to get with me. And she asked me to get the I was fine. I was taking some cold in there.
And that's
change started to talking to me. I mean, very sweet. It kind of knew that in her voice. And I think that she keeps my brother in my cup. And then I realized I was going to do this to myself. I don't want to take my mother out anymore. I want to forget that she exists like me. And that Tuesday, before I went to see Sophie, I knew she was going to be at the center. I think it's 7. I had to go to the center. And I had fun. So I went to see her at the center. And they were very nice to me. They took me around. I saw that she didn't use her teacher and saw she didn't use her teacher. I let them know that she was a couple of kids. Not too wealthy. My sister came in, I think, just last Sunday, last Saturday, on Monday. And there was this whole thing about, because the way I found out it was because my brother home here first. That my sister was there, that my sister was there, on Monday. And I said, oh, that's interesting. And I said to myself, that's interesting that my sister's here. I don't know how long she has to do. The fact that she gets at the house, back with my brother, I needed to get out of home. I made up my mind. I didn't get a sister. So my brother was following me, calling me, yeah. And I should have asked him something like, why tell me? Why rescue? Why is it? What is it he wants? Because I felt like he wanted to know if I knew that she was going to come and I was getting sick. And I said, oh, really? I thought, yeah. He called me several times after that. He called me that following, yes, the following day we there. And then while we were there, he tried to contact with you. That's what he said next day. Actually, I want to talk about my mother. What do you want to talk about? You come here sneaking. You didn't even bother calling back or calling me, letting me know that you would come. Then you call me in the middle of the night, like a thief in the night, sneak in and see what her conditions are, what her living situation is. And that's when I felt like she was doing, sneaking in to check something to discuss. So it's sort of an awful. I'm not very scared of this. Awful. She's the one that he lives with her. He's the one that she goes for and everything else. I don't find it. Oh, she's your mother. She's my mother, but I lost my. She didn't get it. This is not the woman I used to. So, now I want to get a sweet. My baby. I need a cat. It's not the. I said, you know what? I covered it all. No, she doesn't understand. She doesn't. She's had animals left in her. She had goose or geese, whatever you want to, white swans. I don't know what you call them. She had them. They were white, huge, beautiful. And I thought she would, I said, why are they here? Well, how is this exotic animal to be in Puerto Rico? Puerto Rico is unknown to have exotic animals because they catch them. They clip them so they move far away and they sell them in Puerto Rico. Like, well, I don't know, to eat, I don't know what to do with them, keep them as pets. No, I don't believe in such things. I do not believe. And then she allowed other dogs to kill them. You have them in your house in your possession, and you need to take care of them to the point of their safety. That's how I so no. You take your dog, you buy it from us too, and you never should have paid for that because to you it's just what you do.
Rather than that, she thinks it is not her roommate.
That is not for rent. That is my rent. My rent. She has a dad that is black and he was leaving the hospital after everything. Here I want to go home and breathe. Be by myself and cry and scream, throw things. That's what I wanted to do. That's how I felt. I wanted to smoke a cigarette. I wanted to have a drink. I wanted to smoke a joint. I wanted to just to take the bottle and just drink it and get drunk. So I didn't see it. I couldn't even do it because I had to drive a boyfriend to Nanda. And it'd be 3 o'clock in the morning. And all I kept on thinking is I'm driving and said, I'll just sit it. And so soft that I have to try to get to this. And then I go back home. Half a car. Full spirit. So I go and say, I did it all out. I didn't think. It's not the point of driving somebody here. It's the long time and I resented her coming to the place because she should have already had it in her mind, but in her car she said, unless you want to stay over, and I want to stay. And I just want to say, what the fuck? Stay over where? Be clear. I wanted to come out like that, and I said, you know, but there was a time. And that's the way I changed. Yo me traigo, for the past couple of weeks, it was fun. Yo me traigo, me said, I was supposed to get my style, the reason that I've been so sick, because I was so. And I first time I go, really? Like, I said to her, you know what? Of all the stuff that you and your sister has said to me in the past couple of months, and she says, how about the things you said? I said, you said a lot of it. But those things that I said had nothing to do with me. When I said something to you, it's because you're not doing it to other people. It's always just why it's you. But to be mean to you and your sister, that makes me feel like Connie has a habit of saying that especially me, I guess, that I've been having been supportive. I haven't been supportive of her going through this injection freaking thing for the past year or so. What's that like? Driving you everywhere, giving you money for your medication because you didn't have it, pills for this, pills for that, driving here, driving there, taking you every weekend to your house. What the hell is it? Is there somebody else with us that's doing this to you? But I haven't been supportive. What is it that you want me to do? Bend over? So, and it actually reflects listening to her say things. I noticed that there was a difference too. I mean, I noticed there was a difference because there are systems where Ashley is more. More here and more. You have to take the power to do it. Kind of amount is justified by where it's going to go. When you look at it, see what the pros and cons before I catch it, you can deny that it doesn't look too good for me. But when you say, well, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to try to get through the time. I asked her, can you see me up in the sky? I just now said, take him. He talked about teachers. He talked about getting, you know, gay. He talked to his emails and addictions and addictions. And, you know, we talk about children. There's something immature. I don't know if it's maturity. I don't know what it is, but I see something. That's it. I could buy him a car. If I had the money, he gets a lot. I will buy him a car. Okay, he has a car now. Not walking in the morning. And even with her bear, when she moved it, I still got up. I still mopped. I still fed him. I still gave him his medication. And all I fucking asked was take him to the doctor and get his shot and him improved. So where does he get back? Mm-hmm. The first day she got there, when she moved in, it seems like it. She took off and she was out for 2 or 3 days. Now I'm missing the phone call. Really? I said, let it go. Let's see where this takes. I wanted to see where this took. I was too busy. Wait. Because I realize I gotta think before the act. Even if it takes me days, maybe weeks. So what happens is I don't say anything, and what I feel like I'm doing is building a fine. So when something does happen or anything, I just think it out and say, well, A, I'm such a kid, and B, and see when you did this, remember that, remember this. And even then I ask myself, I'll keep it there. Maybe I'll just keep it from keep it there. And maybe I should do that. Write it down. That's like, you know, like I've told her, it's the time. And I just said, and I was in this past situation, so, you know, I was in the case. I was having a family of so my is in my witness. And I would let her know that why she's there and what I want. And this is what I want you to be more considerate and consistent. It's not the junkyard. It's not the discounted. It is not your home. Your apartment. It's a home. It's just important.
Yeah.